find the scripture with me, James 1:19. I've been in the book of James. I'll be explaining that a little later. Let me read this to you. My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you speak to me, to speak to a person or their situation. If you prompted me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Remind me that you look at all of us, but you look at me differently. I'm held under a strict judgment, a greater judgment, because I'm a teacher of your word. And I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. I'll tell you what I told the early service. We've had commissioning and baptisms, and I mean this to be a sermonette, but the chances of that staying as a sermonette are not that great, but I'm going to try. I'm in the book of James because I've been teaching and discipling that we need to hear the word of God. We need to be a part of that, but we need to be doing. Doing is where the blessing is. Hearing is where it begins. Being doers of the word is where the blessing begins. So I want to start in this verse, in verse 19, give you the three things: quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Underneath quick to hear, we need to say that quick to hear is a reference to the word of God. How do I know that? Just two verses down, verse 21 says, therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth, evil access, humbly receive the implanted word, which is the word of God, which is able to save you. Verse 18, we'll talk about it as well. So it's kind of bookend. Is bookend there to let you know that what do we need to be quick to hear? We need to be quick to hear the word of God. Now, I want to say something to you that you have to watch out for. And we're going to handle it all the way through. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Be careful about your feelings. Your feelings can mislead you quickly. We're going to handle that in a moment, even more. Every segment of this, we're going to handle it. I've had people leave this church because I didn't speak to them at Walmart. Okay, and they had a feeling that if I didn't speak to them at Walmart, that I didn't care about them or I was abandoning them. Number one, I'm not in Walmart very often. Number two, I didn't even see them. I can be walking around with life hypnotism just like you can. All right? I didn't even see them, but their feeling was that if I didn't speak to them, I didn't care about them. Right? Their feelings misled them. All right? Some of you trust your feelings way too much. Way too much. You respond with your feelings. Let me come back to Scripture for just a second. The psalmist will cry out in the Psalms, God, don't leave me. Don't leave me. And you're going, well, man, it says in the Bible that God will leave you. He's not giving a truth. The psalmist is telling you how he, say the word, feels. He feels like the Lord is leaving him. Now, when I get deeper into the word, what's the truth? He said he'll never leave you. He will never leave you. He'll never forget you, which is what the word forsake means. He'll never short sheet your bed, right? He's never going to do those things to you. But the psalmist sometimes is expressing how he feels, and then later on will answer it in the truth. So you got to watch your feelings. We got to watch how we respond to that. And I want to set that up so that I don't have to set it up again in the rest of the sermon. So why does James tell us to be quick to hear the word of God? Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is alive. It is living, effective, and sharper than any two-edged, double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge, look at this, it's able to judge the ideas and the thoughts of the heart. Now, why do I need to be quick to hear the word of God? I'm an avid reader, and I'll read four or five books simultaneously, a chapter here, chapter there. I very seldom read one book all the way through, because I'll get them all the way through, but haphazardly I'm skipping chapters, and that's just the way I live life anyway if you're around me. But my point is, I can read all kinds of books, self-help books, discovery books, but none of that literature will ever go to where the Word of God will go in my life. Ever. The word of God will go to very deep, specific places in your life where no other writing of any man or woman will ever go. So why do I need to be quick to hear the Word of God? Because it goes places that only it can go. I need to figure this out. Here's what happens. If I'm not careful, I will use the Word of God on you. I will use the Word of God on you. Like, I could have responded to Lita. And Lita's from the north, and it wasn't, she blasted me. Do you understand what I'm saying? She just like, boom, I don't want to be a part of you Bible-thumping preachers and you Bible-thumping churches. And Lita's one of the most dedicated servants of our church. She is. Reliable, dependable, faithful. But I didn't get angry and respond back. Finally, I just asked her a question. You're fussing over the Word of God. Have you ever read it? Just go read it and then come back and let's discuss what the Lord says. We've got to be quick to hear the Word of the Lord. Why? Because it goes to areas. Now, I can use Scripture against Lita. I can say, hey, Lita, wait a minute, you're not doing this. When the intent of Scripture, and James writes this in chapter 1, is for me to look at me. I need God's Word to look at me. Am I this person? Do I resemble what this person that Scripture is saying this person resembles? Do I resemble what they are describing? Instead of using it to Bible thump you and whop on you, I've got to use it for me. And when we teach discipleship, we're teaching people, lead them to have their own discovery. Don't tell them their discovery for them. Let them come into the Word of God and have their own self-discovery. I was, true story. Gosh, I hate to tell this as a true story. I sometimes ride with troopers. And we have a lot of troopers in our church. So I was riding with a trooper one night. His name is Jim Shelton. Jim's in Carter County now. In the Grayson area, which is where he's from. He and his wife, Heather, were very active in our church. And I was riding with him one night. It was getting a little bit wintry. And we're going down the road. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. And here's a guy on a lawnmower just coming up by Stringtown, you know, out past Sand Spring Church. And, man, he's just tearing it up on his lawnmower. He's drunker than Cooter Brown, you know. And this is when I was at First Baptist. And I was on TV a lot in a TV ministry. And so we pull him over, and he's madder than fire because he goes, you can't be DUI on a lawnmower, and you can be DUI on a horse. Do you understand that? I mean, a horse is considered transportation. So they writes him up, he has to put his lawnmower over so somebody can come pick it up. You know, it's kind of funny, right? So I'm sitting in the passenger side of the front seat. They put him in the back seat. And he goes, you're Jeff Eaton, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I'm Jeff Eaton. He goes, I listen to you all the time. And I go, must not done any good, you know? I mean, if we're meeting in a cruiser, it must not. He starts quoting Lamentations 3 to me. Woe is me. Just a man undone. And Lamentations 3 is lamenting. This is what's wrong with, and I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Drunker and Cooter Brown and quoting to me Lamentations 3. It was just amazing. Here's my point in that. I could take Lamentations 3 and look at him, but he was using the correct way, Lamentations 3, to look at himself. And that's what the Word of God needs to do. The Word of God, instead of me popping you over the head with the Word of God, is the Word of God is meant for it to first look, do I resemble this? If I resemble this, what do I need to do in taking care of this? Where we have the idea that I take the Word of God to all these people and somehow it bypasses me. And we're going to get to that even deeper. Why the Word of God? Because it goes where nothing else will ever go. When we talk about quick to hear, it is about listening and hearing simultaneously. It's not just the difference between the two, it's both. We have to ask the question, and it's a valid question, what do you listen to? When I say that outwardly, what do you listen to? It can be to music, it can be podcasts. It can be all, like some of the most popular podcasts today are murder podcasts. And I'm going, why? What am I letting feed my life? What am I letting feed my soul? What am I letting do? I need to be quick to hear the Word of God. It's important to hear. That's where it begins. But it doesn't stop there. And that's where I've been leading you along for the last two or three Sundays. It's just not come, I need to hear a word from the Lord today. It's I need to do and hear from the Word of the Lord, but I need to do the Word. Because Scripture says, James wrote, that's where the blessing of God is. Hearing is where it begins, but the blessing of God is you being able to carry it out. I want to talk about Stephen's ministry for a moment. It is a listening ministry. The way they do pastoral care is just to listen. Why? Because if I listen well enough, I'll know where your tension is. And if I figure out where your tension is, then I know where to give care. If we listen well, we will be able to care well. We'll know where the tension is occurring and we'll be able to care. Just like the three who were baptized today, the two who were baptized last Sunday, they heard the word of the Lord, they responded, and they've been listening to the Holy Spirit. Hearing and listening has been going on together. You know you don't hear with your outside ears, right? This is just here to catch the sound waves. And if I can't hear you, I may cup it. And why am I cupping it? It's just an extension of my ear. Why am I doing that? I'm catching the sound. I hear with my brain. I don't hear with my ears. I hear with my brain. It's in my brain that the hearing is all put together, and I'm able to go through all of that reaction and figuring out and putting it together. But I hear with my brain. And here's what I'm saying this. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed. Don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when I'm constantly by the Word of God being reminded of who I am and who He is and what He's done for me, then it gives me a very healthy self-perspective. Scripture says in Proverbs, whatever a man thinks, so he becomes. Now, I can think about being an NBA basketball player. That's never going to happen, right? But my point in that is I can see in the Word of God what I can become as a man of God. And if I'm letting His Word even penetrate my brain and my heart down to my soul, then I start formalizing myself to be like Him. I'm not taking Scripture and bopping you over the head with it. I'll let you have your own self-discovery just as I have my own self-discovery. So I'm going to hear the Word of God. It's even going to affect my brain and my mind and my soul and everything, spiritual, emotional health, all that's involved in that. But here's what I'm saying. I will hear with my brain, but I will listen with my heart. When I lead you to praying on Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning, I tell you, tell the Lord that you love Him. Can you finish that? From your heart to His. You know what counseling ends up being? Helping the Lord talk from His heart to yours. It's just the reversal of that. So I can hear with all that I'm capable of hearing. I listen with my heart. Second thing that James challenges us with is be slow to speak. Hard for some of us, right? Slow to speak. James 3:1 is something I encounter in my prayer before every sermon that I preach. Not many should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we who teach will receive a greater or a stricter judgment. A lot of people say, man, I want to teach. Man, I want to teach the Word of God. I want to get in front of people. Hang on. For those of you who want to be teachers of the Word of God, you just said, I want a stricter judgment on my life. I want a stricter judgment on you. This is my prayer, James 3:1, that he remind me that all of us can be under judgment, but I'm telling you, out of everybody in this room, Jeffro's number one when it comes to the judgment line. Why? Because I'm a teacher of his word. I don't take that lightly. Let me show you what I mean by that, about being slow to speak. In James 1:13, and here's a situation that evidently James has heard this being said around him. No one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anybody. I'm going to go back to feeling for a moment. Sometimes you're encountering people or a situation, and it may be a group of people, and you feel like, as a believer, you need to say something. And if you're not careful, your saying will be based on feeling and not based on the truth of God's word. I'll show you that in a moment. You with me? We're going to go to, I feel. Evidently, James is overhearing a conversation where people are being tempted by sin, and the way that they just kind of knock it off their shoulder is going, well, God must have tempted me. They felt like that's what they needed to say. And the truth is, the Lord will never, ever lead you to commit a sin. Never happened. I had a guy tell me one time, he's married and he was having an affair. And he looked at me and said, I think God led me to this other woman. I'm going, you have got to be kidding me. You see how you can say, well, I guess God wanted me to do this. Well, I guess God wanted me to do that. And that just becomes an easy answer, that the way it's a sweeping generalization that just says, well, if I'm going to explain it and I really can't explain it, I'll just say, I guess God led me to do it. I don't ever want you to respond with your feelings. When it comes to a God answer, sometimes the best answer is to be slow to speak to this situation. I'll show you in a moment what I mean by that. Don't go thinking that I'm not supposed to, but don't be getting abrasive with me about the passage that says, be ready to give a defense for the gospel. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying a lot of times we feel like we need to say something, then I will respond. I will respond to blessings. I was talking to two people one time. One of them was having surgery, or one of them's husband was having surgery. And they just said, would you remember my husband in prayer? I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. And then the other lady in the car, I'm in a parking lot. They just pull up by me. I do drive-through counseling too, by the way, if y'all want to know. So the lady said, I want you to pray for my husband. He's going to be having surgery. And the lady driving the car said this, and you better make sure your prayers are all prayed up, because he could just do something during that surgery. Well, where'd that come from? You see what I'm saying? I mean, her feeling is, you better get prayed up. Like, God's going to say, okay, your power meter on PlayStation is up where it needs to be now, and we can go on with the procedure. You see, we just come off with crazy stuff all the time. I mean, some of y'all do this to me with your kids. You better straighten up. There's the preacher. He's going to get you. Why do you do that to me? Every little kid run around thinking preacher's going to get them, you know? Y'all do that all the time to me. You don't even know you do it. I'm saying, watch how you respond. Careful response is more important. Sometimes he is telling us, be slow to speak. If we're quick to answer, it can usually be a feeling answer. And that feeling, that way we feel about it, can be completely wrong. Listen, here's what I'm saying. Don't be the automatic Bible answer person. And we won't have spiritual conversation because we think somebody's going to ask us a question. We don't know the answer to it, and we're going to look dumbfounded. I don't want you to be the automatic Bible answer person. I want you to think thoroughly through what is being asked of you, and then think in the way that you should respond, and then lead them to have their own discovery in Scripture, like any of us are doing. I have in my hand a Gideon New Testament. It's green. And the man that gave it to me is sitting right here next to my wife. My father-in-law gave me my Gideon New Testament in 1979. And if you don't know much about Gideon's ministry, we're very connected to Gideon's ministry, mainly because of Papaw and Meemaw, Ted and Mary Alice, Julie's parents. But then it goes on from there. In fact, two people coming back from the Gideon's convention in Atlanta are staying at our house this afternoon and tonight. A young couple that's like a son and daughter of us with their newborn son that we've never seen. So the Gideon ministry is very, very special to us. Gideon Bibles are color-coded. If you didn't know that, just throwing that out. If you're a nurse and you're graduating and they allow you to have Bibles, you'll be given a white Bible. Red New Testaments are given to fifth graders if the school will allow them to do that. Green is considered a college color, and I guess they think we're just green. That's the only thing I can think of, which there's a whole lot of truth in that, actually. We think we know everything, and we're green. Maybe that's why they give us green. Anyway, I knew Ted Papaw then. I wasn't dating his daughter, but I knew him. He knew our family. We knew theirs. I knew who Julie was. She knew who I was. But we weren't dating at that time. And I played college baseball. We had to go to chapel. I was there just to go to chapel and get my name checked off. And I was running out the back door. Well, the Gideons are pretty sharp. They had every door covered. And Papaw was at a side door, kind of a back door, side door. And I headed out that way, and there's Papaw, and he handed me my green New Testament. I went to my office this morning and got it. He handed me this very New Testament. And I carried it with me. And I love what Gideons do. They give you self-help in the front. Like, if you're afraid, and it's listed alphabetically, you can look it up. If you're anxious, if you're confused, depressed, it's got scripture verses. So I've kept this, obviously. I went to work in the coal mines in West Kentucky, Providence, Kentucky, specifically Dotiki coal mine. I carried this with me in my lunch bucket, which was those little igloos back then. That was my lunch bucket. During lunch, I'd go off and read it by myself. Even though I was in earshot and they could see me, I'd read it. Of course, those big old coal miners, "Hey, boy, what are you reading over there?" And scared me to death. And I told them I was reading this. And of course, coal miners at that time didn't talk to you about Scripture. They argued about Scripture. And they'd say, "Well, what about this? What's the Bible say about this, you young whippersnapper? And I would want to answer them, right? But I felt inadequate. So I would delay my response. So I would go home and look it up, and so I'd come back the next day or two with an answer. Every day it was a new question. So not only was I giving them answers, delayed answers, but answers nonetheless, it was also self-discovery for me when it comes to God's Word, right? So I'm asking you, as you encounter people, don't go walking around like you're this great Bible answer person. And some of you will absolutely avoid spiritual conversations because you're afraid they're going to ask something and you don't know the answer. I'm telling you that it's okay to say, I'm going to come back to you with that. And if it's a couple, 3 days, fine. You're going to reach your own self-discovery, and then you're going to be able to lead them to their self-discovery when it comes into Scripture. Do you see that? You're going, "Hey, preacher, Isn't it a little delayed in there, second or third day?" Listen, God's Word tells us that a timely answer is just a huge blessing. That's a paraphrase. But giving a timely answer is important. We don't have to walk around saying, "Ask me your question, man, I'll just spout off the answer." Listen. Be quick to hear to see where their tension is. And then go and get God's Word and care for them with God's Word so that they become quick to hear. You with me? See how all that works? I learned that. This is all pre-ministry, man. I wanted to follow the Lord, but I never wanted to be a preacher. But I'm using this gift of a Gideon New Testament from my father-in-law and Gideon's International of how I learned that sometimes it can be a delayed answer or a delayed process, and that it's absolutely okay for you to be doing that. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Lastly, we need to be slow to answer. Oh, I mean, slow to anger. Golly, do we need that. It needs to be, if you sign up for Facebook or Twitter, the agreement needs to be that you are slow to anger, right? Anger here is an anger debate. The picture is a heated discussion. Sometimes our quick responses lead to anger discussions. Sometimes you need to back out of the conversation. Just need to back out of it. You need to think about how to answer properly. Respond properly. Sometimes you need to count to 10, 50, 10,000, 100,000, infinity and beyond, right? Buzz Lightyear. We need to respond to social media is huge for heated discussions that get crazy. The boundaries aren't there. They go off scale. It just be slow to anger. And let me tell you, sometimes when you respond, somebody asks you a question, you'll get mad because they feel like they're putting down your faith. Listen to me. Unbelievers are going to put down their faith. Just quit getting mad about it. They've just not had the discovery that you've had. Help lead them to their own self-discovery in the Word of God. That's what I did with Lita. Lita saw herself in the Word, sitting me going, Lita, this is who you are, who you ought to be. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Remember, I'm a preacher. I'm not the judge. Y'all think I'm the judge. I'm just the preacher. And in that, I have to lead you to your own self-discovery and what the Word of God says. So be slow to anger. Let me show you in a series of verses, Exodus 34:6. You'll see the theme in this pretty quick. It says, then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord Yahweh is a compassionate and gracious God. Say this phrase with me, slow to anger and rich in faithful love and truth. All right, let's look at Psalm 86:15. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God. Say it with me, slow to anger and rich in faithful love and truth. These are all different verses, yet the same, right? Psalm 103:8. You ready? The Lord is compassionate and gracious. Here we go. You ready? Let's ride the roller coaster. Slow to anger and rich in faithful love. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Let's go again. Write it again. Slow to anger and great in faithful love. Nehemiah even, 9:17. They refused to listen, did not remember your words. You performed among them. They became stiff-necked, which means it's an idol. Idols are stiff-necked. They don't move. It's a play on words there. They became stiff-necked and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate. Let's say it again. Slow to anger and rich in faithful love, and you did not abandon them. Why? What am I trying to tell you? You tell me. You're not going home till you talk back to me. What? If God is slow to anger, you and I need to imitate him. If he's slow to anger, aren't you grateful? Because, man, if anybody on this planet could have pushed his buttons, it was me. Aren't you thankful? Man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he probably looked down and said, that old Jeff, you know, and just shook his head. Love him anyway, right? If he's slow to anger, let's be slow to anger. Let me show you something that I mean, that if you don't watch out, you'll respond with feeling, and what you're feeling will not be what the Word of God says. Let me show you what I mean by that. It has everything to do with you. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Some of us in this room are going, man, we want God to pour his judgment out on our nation. Right? Some of you said that. Some of you feel deeply about that. We'll show them. The judgment of God needs to pour out on the nation. Do you know what God's word says about him pouring out his judgment? Who does it come to first? Peter said, the judgment of God comes to the house of God first. Now, hang on to me. You're going, man, God just needs to pour his judgment out on the nation. You know what you just said? Let your judgment start with me, Lord. And it seems like, hey, that's not fair. I think it's perfectly fair. If me and you are going to say, man, the judgment of God needs to come to our nation, you better watch out because the judgment of God is going to come to our nation. What you're saying is, if I want it to happen to you, then I need to allow it to happen to me first. So if the judgment of God is coming to our nation, guess what, folks? It's going to hit us first. You'll respond with your feeling, oh, yeah, I'm going to the rally at the Capitol. The judgment of God needs to come to our nation. But what you don't know that you're saying from the Word of God is, let your judgment begin in me first. Because Peter said the judgment of God begins in the house of God. Before it goes to the nation, it's going to start with us. How many of y'all signing up for that? Because you and I are going to say our nation is far from God, and what's the judgment of God going to say to me and you? Well, just show me where you are. You may be just as far from the Lord of the nation you're accusing. So if I'm going to pray for the judgment of God, I have just welcomed the judgment of God on me. Let's go back to 3:1. I pray this prayer every time before I preach. If you want to be a teacher, I want to tell you something. You've just opened yourself up because you're opening yourself up to a greater judgment. You may think being up here on this stage is wonderful. I'm under a greater judgment than you ever will be. As I could go, that's not fair. I think it's fair. I think it's fair because if I'm going to tell you how to walk, I'm going to help challenge you how to talk, then I better be on that road ahead of you, right? Too quickly, we can just spout off my feelings. I can just go, I feel this, I feel that. Listen, I think God's raising up a very committed, faithful generation of followers of Christ. I'm just telling you, y'all are going, well, preacher, I don't see that. I do see that. And they're committed young at a level I never thought about being committed young. When Papaw handed me that Gideon New Testament, I don't know that I was right to date his daughter. I avoided everything to do with ministry. I didn't want to be in the BSU, and people invite me to Vespers. I'm like, what's Vespers? You know, I mean, it's a prayer group. Y'all don't know what that is. What boy plays college baseball wants to go to a prayer group at midnight? Well, there were some that did. I just dodged all that stuff. And the whole time, the Lord was pursuing me. I could say the Word of God led me to Julie. How about that? That just came to me right now. That Papaw gave me a Gideon New Testament, and then you get it? Making a love deposit here, so in the bank. You see, just remember, guys, listen. Sometimes you're going to respond out of your feelings, and people could come to me about our nation's wayward, and I could just in feeling go, yeah, and the judgment of God needs to come on our nation. But not knowing in my heart from the Word of God, I just said, let the judgment of God happen to me before it happens to our nation. I don't know you're as much for that as you were. But when the judgment of God does come to our nation, I promise you, it's going to come to the house of God first because Scripture said so. Then it will go to our nation. It will not bypass us. It will begin with us. You get it? Be slow, be quick to hear the Word of God, and be quick to listen, for there you'll know the care of God. And be slow to speak. Speaking is not a sign of intelligence. Knowing when to speak is a sign of great, deep wisdom. And be slow to get angry. Just don't get angry. Why? Because our Lord is slow to anger. Step out of those heated discussions. Just back out of them. Learn to respond in a timely, godly way. You know, when the Lord visits me, He's not all the time telling me of what I've done wrong. He's all the time reminding me of how He's loved me when I was absolutely faithless. When I was faithless, He remained faithful to me. That's awesome. I'm glad He's slow to anger. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. Bless them. Our time of invitation, Your Holy Spirit beckons us to respond privately, publicly. You just beckon us to respond. Thank You for Your compassionate love and care and patience with us. May we be quick to hear Your word. May we be slow to respond. And definitely may we be slow to anger. Because of You, we want to emulate You. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. The invitation's for you to come and surrender your life to Christ. You may have never done that. We ask that you come. There'll be counselors in the altar who will respond to your needs, pray with you, minister to you. You're here, you're a believer. We offer communion. The bread represents His body given, the drink His blood shed. Take the bread, dip it into the drink. Before you consume it, remember His sacrifice for us. Remember that He's been slow to be angry at us. And thank Him for His slowness and His compassionate love to us. And before you consume it, remember what He has done and be thankful. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you find your spot? And Logan's going to lead us. You respond, you come.